WSJM News Now. This is the 5 o'clock news block on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by Special Light in Decatur and Benton Harbor. There's a good chance you've walked through a Special Light door when you go to a local restaurant, school, store, or plant. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. The St. Joseph City Commission is still on the fence about a proposed Black Lives Matter mural for the city. Last night, the commission took public comment during its meeting for more than an hour. City Commissioner Peggy Getty said the mural should be painted.
This has happened throughout history with everything that was worth changing. Is people resisted it by saying, well, no, we better not push that because that might rock the boat. We might get into trouble for that. Well, some things are worth it.
Mayor Pro Tem Laura Goose attended this past weekend's Black Lives Matter mural speeches and work in Benton Harbor.
I heard beautiful speeches about civil rights and the needs of communities of color. It was not a monolithic chant of Black Lives Matter, but instead it was a call out for unity and community.
More options are yet to be presented regarding the proposed mural in St. Joe. The city's consulting with its attorney on the issue. 2 weeks ago, the Sandbar in St. Joe was approved to have loud music on the weekends until 11 p.m. by the City Commission. However, that vote did not stand. Mayor Mike Gary said last night the bar was overdoing it, and he said that the owner, Tom Jennings, quote, did not keep his word.
He was totally abused his permission that we gave him. I'm quite upset with Tom as an individual. I think he really threw us under the bus.
Commissioners Laura Goose and Peggy Getty added they've also heard of problems with noise. The City Commission voted last night unanimously to remove the privilege of the Sandbar to play loud music past 10 p.m. on the weekends throughout the month of August. Michigan reported 796 additional cases of COVID-19 for Tuesday, along with 7 additional deaths. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says that there have been 88,756 cases of the illness and 6,264 deaths in Michigan since the start of the pandemic. Berrien County reported 5 additional cases for today for a total of 1,203 and 66 deaths. Cass County reported 6 additional cases of COVID for today, making its total 311 with 13 deaths. Van Buren County reported 3 additional cases for today for a total of 416 cases and 9 deaths. They're the first and very likely not the last to call off the football season for this year. Lake Michigan Catholic Athletic Director Neil Carter says it was one of the harder decisions they've ever had to make to not have football this year.
It's a decision that we really didn't want to make, but we thought it was in the best interest so we can get our kids teaching, you know, coming to classroom and that side. So that's the direction we decided to go.
He added that the Michigan High School Athletic Association says they want fall sports in the spring. LMC will be open to that.
If there's a way we could make this happen for our athletes, absolutely, we would revisit that. It's a decision that, like I said, the return to school committee and the school board and administration will all meet and decide what direction they want to go.
The football season had been set to start on August 28th. An order from Governor Gretchen Whitmer requiring all farm workers in Michigan to be tested for COVID-19 is getting pushback from farm groups and from some state lawmakers, including State Representative Pauline Wenzel. She tells us the governor mandated that all farm and food processing workers be tested for COVID, giving farms very little time to comply.
There is no farmers that are not allowing their workers to get tested if they have symptoms or if they've been exposed to somebody with symptoms. This is something that's just going above and beyond that is just absolutely unnecessary. It's mandating people, the government's mandating people to get a medical procedure against their will.
Wenzel says the legislature can do nothing to help.
We're voted in by the people. We're the voice. And right now, people have no voice. And this is just one of many, many examples of that.
The state's order also requires migrant housing camp operators and food processing facilities with more than 20 employees to provide COVID-19 testing. Any employee who refuses a test may not conduct in-person work until the individual is tested and receives a documented negative result. Wenzel says all she can do is hope that the governor changes the order. Congressman Fred Upton is calling on the U.S. Defense Department and the Department of Homeland Security to extend federal funding for the Michigan National Guard for the rest of the year. He tells us the Guard has been helping with testing for COVID-19 and other tasks throughout the pandemic in Michigan, but the Trump administration announced last week it would only continue covering 100% of National Guard's coronavirus relief efforts in Texas and Florida. It said it would reduce the rate to 75% in other states.
The president indicated that he was going to roll back the 100% reimbursement for some states, Texas, California, Florida, Connecticut, but most of the other states, they were going to be still pretty heavy share was going to be paid for by the state. So the governor reached out to me last week, and she asked if I could weigh in with the White House. I did. I called.
Upton said, and Congresswoman Debbie Dingell sent a letter to the secretary of both federal agencies this week in addition to Upton's call for the administration. The letter is signed by 13 members of the state's House delegation. The Michigan Department of Transportation has announced more than $3 million in roadwork grants for small communities around the state, and they include grants for Watervliet, Hartford, and Lawton. MDOT says the Community Service Infrastructure Fund program is a stopgap program to help fund road projects in communities with less than 10,000 people. Each grant is a 50% match, meaning the communities in question will kick in the same amount as the state. The city of Watervliet's going to get $117,000 for improvements to Elk Street next year. Hartford is getting $204,000 for improvements to Wendell Avenue, and Lawton is getting $75,000 for work on Oak Road. The grant awards announced this week range from $30,000 to $250,000 around the state. They'll cover things like road resurfacing, culvert replacement, pavement, crack sealing, and more. And Indiana Michigan Power is working to restore service to more than 23,000 customers around its service area who still don't have it as of late this afternoon. The outages are spread all over the map, with the large clusters in Baroda, Berrien Center, and Stevensville, among other places. Isolated cases of outages because of fallen trees can be found all over southwest Michigan. The best way to find out when your service will be restored is to call INM or have their app. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News Now continues. From rivals to running mates, Joe Biden has announced California Senator Kamala Harris as his pick for vice president. Harris becomes the first woman of color on a major party ticket after dropping out of the presidential race earlier in the primary season. ABC's Karen Travers has more from Washington.
During a debate last June, Harris launched an aggressive attack on Biden over his opposition to busing as a means of desegregating American schools. For Biden, the moment stung. Last month, photographers picked up notes that Biden had handwritten before a press conference. Under the header of Kamala Harris, it read, "Do not hold grudges. Campaign with me and Jill. Talented. Great help to the campaign and great respect for her."
Meanwhile, President Trump's decision to sign a series of executive actions on coronavirus relief continues to face criticism from Democrats, including his presidential rival, Joe Biden. More from ABC's Adam Kelsey.
Writing in the Tampa Bay Times, Joe Biden blasted President Trump for increasing the economic stress upon senior citizens by deferring and potentially forgiving payroll taxes used to fund Social Security as part of his coronavirus relief efforts. Biden further criticized Trump for signing the orders at his New Jersey golf club as opposed to staying in Washington to work on a legislative solution, and pledged to strengthen the Social Security program if he's elected president in November. Adam Kelsey, ABC News, Washington.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, the first governor in the nation to test positive for the coronavirus, says he has donated plasma to help other virus patients recover. He says he made the donation recently at an Oklahoma Blood Institute center. A convalescent plasma is being researched as a potential treatment for COVID-19. Tulsa County Commissioner Karen Keith was infected with the virus, and she says that she has also donated plasma. Oklahoma has reported 44,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus and 618 deaths. The Big Ten has become the first of the power conferences to announce the postponement of fall sports this year that includes football. ABC's Ryan Burrow has more.
The Big Ten releasing a statement Tuesday saying all fall sport regular season contests, championships, and tournaments have been postponed due to the ongoing health and safety concerns related to the COVID-19 pandemic. That includes sports like football, cross country, soccer, field hockey, and women's volleyball. Commissioner Kevin Warren says it has become abundantly clear that there was too much uncertainty regarding potential medical risks for the student athletes. The commissioner did not rule out playing the sports in the spring. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
We're hearing today from Seattle's police chief, who is resigning after attempts to defund the police were partially successful in her city. ABC's Alex Stone has more.
Chief Carmen Bass stepping down after Seattle City Council voted to cut close to $4 million from the police budget, meaning up to 100 officers could be laid off. The chief's pay will also be reduced. Best saying regarding officers who will be laid off,
"I'm done. Can't do it." So that's your answer.
An angry Mayor Jenny Durkin took the city council to task for failing to work with the mayor and police chief to come up with a plan beyond cutting money. Alex Stone, ABC News.
It took 6 months for the world to reach 10 million confirmed cases of the coronavirus. It took just over 6 weeks for that number to double. The worldwide count of known COVID-19 infections climbed past 20 million on Monday, more than half of them in the U.S., India, and Brazil. That's according to the tally kept by Johns Hopkins University. The real infection numbers are believed to be much higher given limitations on testing and the many mild cases that have gone unreported. The U.S. Postal Service finding itself in the middle of a political battle amid the fight over mail-in ballots. More now from ABC.
Democrats are expressing alarm at a proposal that would charge states an extra 35 cents per mail-in ballot, which comes in the midst of sweeping reforms by the new Postmaster General and slower service aimed at reducing costs.
To triple the cost of voting by mail would be an outrageous and insidious policy.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Given President Trump's frequent criticism of vote-by-mail security, critics are characterizing the Postal Service's effort on pricing as an act of voter suppression.
President Vladimir Putin has declared Russia has approved the world's first COVID-19 vaccine, but there are concerns it's not been properly tested. ABC's Patrick Reval has details.
Named Sputnik V after the world's first satellite launched by the Soviet Union, Putin said it had passed all necessary testing. But in reality, the vaccine has yet to even start phase three trials. And scientists in Russia and the US have said it's not been tested enough yet to say whether it's safe and effective. Russian officials insist they're confident, Putin even saying his daughter has had the vaccine. Russia says it hopes to begin vaccinating health workers first by the start of September and that voluntary mass vaccination can begin by October. Patrick Reval, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
And it's been a week since a powerful explosion, one compared to an atomic bomb, devastated Beirut. More than 160 died, more than 6,000 injured. The blast was caused by nearly 3,000 tons of dangerous chemicals stored at the port, but why Lebanese officials left it there for years has led to new calls for political reforms. Yesterday, the government in Lebanon resigned, but that doesn't seem to have helped to appease citizens. More now from ABC's Jordana Miller.
Anger still rife in the streets of Beirut despite the resignation of the Lebanese prime minister and his government. Protesters and many residents say the political move doesn't go far enough in addressing years of endemic corruption and negligence, what they say culminated in the horrifying blast 1 week ago. More protests are expected. Calls growing louder now for the resignation of President Michel Aoun. Documents show Aoun was warned as recently as July about the dangers of the ammonium nitrate stored at the port that is just weeks before it exploded. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by True Blue Financial.